Amen, amen. Lord, amen. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Thank you. Thankful that we can gather together and worship you. And Lord, we just pray for everyone's safety, and just as bad weather and things, that everyone is warm and safe. And so I just ask the blessing on each person. Lord, just meet with us this morning and just open our minds to your word. Lord, touch our hearts in a deep way as you communicate things from your word. And we just give this time to you. I pray you open each heart to receive from the Spirit. And I pray you just anoint me that I can speak things of the Spirit. And so we give this time to you. And we praise your holy name in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, you notice the title. Always, I've told you before how proud I am of my titles. You wouldn't believe how much I stress over my titles. Anyways, we could probably just skip the title and go into the verse, and that would work too, but then, you know, I wouldn't know how to list it on my, you know, worksheet. But here, business planning. Business planning. We're going to look here at James 4, chapter 4, verse 13. Listen to this. James 4, verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Now, I don't know that this is really unique to James, but it's kind of unique. It's just not the first verse that pops out or with me when I'm going through the scriptures and the different books. So there's a uniqueness about it. And then besides kind of a uniqueness about it is we have gone through James, you know, and there's really a lot of deep truths in James, and just go through. And then so as we look at all this, but then we come to this verse. And so, and I'm just being honest with myself, you know, and with you. But I look at that and I go, okay, whatever. You know, it never did strike me. But as you know, I have enough fear of the Lord that I know he put it there for a reason, and so I need to pay attention to it. And so, and then so when I speak on, I got to really pay a lot of attention to it. And so you look at it, but it's really interesting that James, as he's writing in the book of James to the people touching the things of their life, that this is where he comes. Now, at this point in the book, later in the book, and really we have some incredible things to cover in the last chapter that's coming up in the book. But this is kind of in the flow. And so it's, okay, Lord, what? You're saying something deeper than I'm seeing. Okay, I'm not seeing it on the first cut as much as I should see. So this morning, and as I've said before, about James. James is like the book of Proverbs in the New Testament. It's like a New Testament book of Proverbs. And James is full of cause and effect. So he really focuses on that type of thing, has a little different flavor to it. And as this does here. So now what we have here is James challenges, if you will, church-going worshipers to live out their Christianity in their everyday business affairs. See, what he's done here, he's really jumped outside the walls of the church. I mean, he really has jumped outside the walls of the church. And he's saying, listen, you know, we've been talking about these deep things of the Lord. Now, here's some. I want you to use this in your everyday business affairs. That's what he's basically saying. Now, so he's saying, you know, you may have great worship, hallelujah, have great worship. You may have great morals. Morals are just impeccable. But I'm asking a question here. When it comes to your business, do you think entirely on the worldly plane? Now, that's the question. It's like, okay, hey, we got this Jesus stuff down at church, you know, the kids. But he's saying, you know, in your work life, Are you focusing on Christ, on the work, on your work life? Are you incorporating Christ in your life? So he really is taking a step out and looking at our impact in the world. And for, you know, discussion's sake, he's looking at people who's looking at their career path, their work situation, you know, however that may look. But what we would normally consider secular or outside the church. So this is what he's talking about. He just jumped to this. He goes, he's kind of going, by the way, if you were thinking that, I'm going to talk to you about this whole situation. So what he's saying here, are you, you know, you're thinking totally business, so I want everybody to kind of take that piece that this is the focus here. James is saying, do you run your business, live your career, or whatever you have, totally on the worldly basis? I mean, the world runs. It's running career, you know. And just, you know, I'm sure you don't walk in, see your boss, say, well, praise Jesus, let's pray together. It ain't working that way, okay? But it's working. It's productive. Well, he knows full well. And in fact, it's kind of interesting. This really fits today. It doesn't seem to have an ancient feel to it. It's like, no, this is words that, you know, totally modern for us today. So what he's doing here, James is warning Christian business people not to put a false security in worldly plans. Now, is that, if you're breathing out here, you're going, oh, wow, okay. It's to everybody. You can't slip out of this, you know, because you're trying to every day make plans, make money, feed the family, do whatever, make things happen. So he's saying, wait, are you just working? Do you have this false security on worldly plans? And that's what he's touching here. So the next verse is extremely poignant. He speaks directly to us. James 4:14. Hey, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. I mean, okay, there she is. There it is. He's, what are y'all doing? You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Now, if that's not putting life in perspective, I don't know what is. It's like, okay, what are you worrying about? Now, there's different places he says, you know, give us this day our daily bread. You know, he could have added James to it. He says, just give us our daily bread because you might be dead tomorrow. I mean, this is what he's saying. And you go, well, gosh, that's not a good attitude to have. And God goes, no, that's exactly the attitude you should have. So now James, he took that step to put the focus on our business life, okay? So I'll just read the whole thing again. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Gracious. Our time on earth is like a vapor, soon to vanish. Now there's another perspective. That's a perspective. It's like you can think, whoa, you know, this is kind of, you know, unstable ground. And when you're going to find out, it's not unstable at all. It's really stable when we start seeing what he has to say. And he's talking to believers who've been reading the first four chapters, you know, and so we're walking with Jesus and we're praising God, and he goes, by the way, your life's a vapor. Just be gone any moment. So he puts that perspective in there. And if you will, Jesus's parable of the a rich landowner in Luke 12:13, and we don't have an overhead, but Luke 12:13, Jesus expresses what this looks like. He tells us, well, I wonder what Jesus would say. And I'll put my plans with Jesus, or I'll put what he says. Well, what it's really interesting, in Luke, you have this guy got a lot of money. And so he's feeling real secure with all his wealth. And so what he does, he makes a very rational plan for his future without consulting God who provides all things. That's a piece of this thing. Okay? Now, he's rational. He didn't make a bad decision. Rational decision with all his goods. He just didn't consult Jesus. Didn't consult Jesus. Now, what would our sweet Jesus say to this gentleman? What would our sweet Jesus say? Just think, in case you can recall that. Jesus said, or God said to him, "You fool." That's what he Was there any doubt what he means? Jesus said, "You fool. You fool." He had everything worldly. He made the right plans. Everything set up. And he says, now I don't have to work. Everything's laid out for my future. And Jesus goes, "You fool. You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. But you don't have tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow." I don't know, kind of sometimes you read it, you kind of get, I don't know, it doesn't say this, but you kind of get the feeling he's not going to have tomorrow because he didn't give tomorrow to Jesus. He, we'll just take you now. You know, I run this show, you don't. I run this show, you don't. Anyway, that's just me talking. So you can see the what God is telling us is where our eyes should be. He's saying this. He says, "You're a vapor." And he says, "I'm going to be, you know," and he says it in that parable. You read that parable. And he said, "I've got everything laid out. I'm in good shape." And he goes, "No, you're a vapor. And you're not going to be here tomorrow." See? So, when you put this, James, in connection with what Jesus said, he's like, "Okay, God, I think you're really, really serious about this. You're really serious." And what he's talking about, he's talking about the business aspect of our Christian life, the money aspect of our Christian life. And so, when making our plans, we need to remember what Jesus has said. We need to remember who we are in relationship to God. It's kind of like this. Look at Psalms 144, verse 4. And here's the truth. Here's an absolute truth that fits here. Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Now, again, God's all about perspective here. It's like, you need to know who you are in the flesh here. You're a vapor, and you're not promised tomorrow. That's the message. There's no promises here. There's no promises here. You're a breath. You need to remember you're a breath. Now, since our physical life is only a vapor, and God is eternal, we should include him in our plans. Yeah. Do I hear a big amen? But your life, he goes, "Listen, I'm telling you, your life is a vapor." You think, "Oh gosh, no, you plan for the future." No, I'm taking you today. You don't have tomorrow. Give me this day daily bread. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You're a breath. You're a breath. Who's not a breath? God. Who's eternal? God. Now the message is coming here, and if you got a breath, and in even if we live a full life in the sight of eternity, we're still a vapor. We're just kind of slapped on, bing, You know, we're gone. You know, it's so even inside of eternity, we have that view. But God is telling us that. But it's like, oh man, now I really feel insecure. Now I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know anything. I'm afraid to get out of my house. Of course, it wouldn't make any difference out of your house or in your house. If he wants to take you, he's going to take you from in the house. Okay, so it doesn't make any difference. So might as well go out and enjoy your vapor somewhere, because you're going to be in the vapor in the house, vapor outside. You're still going. Can't get away from it. Can't get away from it. And that's kind of what he's pointing to here. But what he really is pointing to, we need to recognize who we are so we know who to trust. We know who to trust. Like in Luke, he told that man, he says, I'm going to take you tomorrow. Now, you're not going to mess up. You're going to make a bad decision. The car's going to run over you. He goes, no, I'm taking you. So he says, I should be in your plan. See, your plan, you know, I should be in your plan because I control what happens to you. Okay? So that's the message is coming. Make a plan. We need to include God in our plan. That piece actually ties into the rest of James, right? It ties into the rest of James. Woods made the comment about the book on prayer, and there's a great verse, and we get in 5, that hits on prayer, how important it is and how powerful it is, you know. And he's given it to his vapors. Us, the vapors, okay? They're just, but he's given us that power of prayer. So we have a connection with the eternal. And what he's saying here is you need to make the connection with the eternal. You know, that's a smart thing for a vapor to do. Make a connection with the eternal, who's eternal, and we're not. See, so the perspective, you see how it changed. So there's no fear, there's a lot of confidence with this. See, we need to include God in our plans. Now listen to this and fascinate. And try to listen to this from God's point of view. God's point of view. He's looking down on us. Is leaving God out of our plans is an arrogant assumption of self-sufficiency and a declaration of independence from God. That's our plans without God. It's kind of like saying, I'm God. My money, my plan, I'm God. I'll make my decisions. He goes, you don't got tomorrow with your plans. See what I'm saying? So it's fascinating here. But that leaving God out of a plan, well, you know, you just got to do, you got to work this thing through. But it says, no, it's an arrogant assumption of self-sufficiency. My plan. I got my plan. Self-sufficiency. But we don't look at what God calls it. It says, you make plans without me. You have just declared your independence of me. And you're going to ask your blessing on it. But you've declared your independence and made your own plan. It's totally independence. And he says it's a failure not to recognize this reality. You know, it's funny we go through things. Well, do you believe this or you don't believe this or you do believe this, you know? And it's kind of like God's telling us this. I don't care what you believe. It's the way it is. Well, I don't believe I'm going to die tomorrow. Watch this. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's like he goes, I'm in control. I'm going to do what's happening. I'm just trying to let y'all know what's going on, you know. And he's kind of saying, you don't even have a vote in this, you know. It's just like, well, I'm going to put all the money in the bank and that. And he goes, take it tomorrow. Take it. And that's what Luke says. That's what Luke says. So he's showing the sovereignty of God. Therefore, what should we say? Oh, my gosh. We shouldn't make any plans, no? No, because we just recognize the reality of God, that God wants in our plans. Look at James 4, verse 15. James 4, verse 15. See, this is what you should say. So now James is going to tell us, this is what you should say. Hey, I'm going here tomorrow. And, you know, it's funny. I didn't notice this until this week. I am embarrassed to say, it says tune tomorrow. I'm going back to verse 13. It says, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city. And now it's coming. And he says, and this he talks about, you're going about day or tomorrow. He goes, but I have control over your life. I have control over your life, and you're just leaving me out of your plans. Okay, James 4:15. Instead, you ought to say, this is what you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Now, I saw the do this or that, but it really jumped out. Maybe it's an age thing. He goes, if it's the Lord's will, we will live. Just stop there. He could have put a period there. Just period. If it's the Lord's will, we will live. To do anything, if it's His will, to live. Jesus told in that parable of the guy that stored up all his stores for his future, his comment to him was, you fool. You're not going to live. Get the money. You fool, you're not going to live. It's saying here, it is the Lord's will. We should say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Now, do you see what's happening in that little section of Scripture and the dynamic of it when you pull all Scripture together? You know, it's like today or tomorrow, we're going to go do this. You know, wait a minute. No, you need to say, Lord, if you will, we will live and do that. If you will. What happened? What's the difference between this verse and the one we talked about before? He said, Lord, if you will. The same can happen if you will. And that's the only way it happened. Well, I won't do this or this. You don't have to worry because you're not going to live. You're not. Well, if you live, okay, then you live. Then maybe you can do this or that. See, so what he did in this thing, God put himself back on the throne. Now, he never left the throne. He just wants us to remind us that he is on the throne. See, he never left. See, he keeps telling us, trying to tell us, this is who I am, this is who you are. I'm on the throne, I'm eternal, and by the way, you're a vapor. Oh, so you should consult me. Because I have control of eternity, and you're going to spend eternity with me or from me. So it's like, and what's going to be evidence, we're going to see the evidence of it about how we make our decisions and how we plan things. How we plan things. You know, I've had people tell me before, well, I'll do this at church, and I do this at work. No. There shouldn't be any difference. I mean, before God, there shouldn't be any difference. In any difference. I had a friend tell me, I'm going to pick on Adam because he'd been to Las Vegas. We're in here. We're chipping ice and freezing to death, and he's in Las Vegas. I don't know how Katie let that happen. But anyway, she did. He's in Las Vegas. He said it's a great time. And so this doesn't apply to Adam. It's somebody else. And he told, and I'm making the point here, and he's going to Las Vegas. He says, listen, you ought to go to Las Vegas, and they just go pair a trip or something. And we didn't do it. He said, just have a great time. Forget about the church. Forget all the things, you know, all these restrictions, and just have a great time. You know, it's kind of like what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. It's one of those things, you know. And I'm thinking, no, I think if I go to Las Vegas, Jesus will come with me. You know, I don't know if I can slip out of that one. You know, I can't like leave him here in the building. You know, like you go, he's going to be there, you know. And, you know, I should have more conviction than just knowing he's going to be there. But I do know he's going to be there, you know. But the point of it is, it's like, no, how I behave here with you in general. I mean, Linda and I don't get in fussing and fighting or anything, but in general, you know how I behave here should be why I behave anyplace else. You just kind of get, this is what you, me, this is just what you get, you know. And part of that is because from the Lord's point of view, he said, listen, I'm telling you what happens in the church. This is how you should do your work. Shouldn't be any difference. That's what he's saying right here. That's the his message. But because what he's saying, it's like he's doing this, you know. He is doing his work. And he goes, and you're making a plant and you don't include me? It's kind of me. Now, of course, I have a little different job description. But it's like you prepare a message. I'm going to give you the best I have, not consult God. Gosh, that didn't blow my heart. Like, how'd you even get to let that out, fall out of your mouth? You know, because, well, you couldn't do that with the word. You couldn't do that with the word. I'd be petrified, you know, like that. Well, I didn't have any time. I didn't have time to pray, but here, let me give you a shot at it. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's just the heart. It's horrifying. But what he's saying is, he goes, if you're a mechanic, you should give that to me every day. Every day before the Lord, you should be the best, godliest mechanic there is, because your relationship with me. That's what it should be. Your plan should be made. I got a plan. I got to fix all these cars, and I got to know what to do. Okay, let's just sit down. Me and you sit down, and we'll figure out how we can fix all these things. Okay, God, give me wisdom like this, and how I can, you know, meet people's needs, and how can I do this? And then God will work things together. So you consult him. You consult him. He said, maybe you're just a vapor, but I'll give you another day. Now, that's me. He didn't talk like that. But you see what I'm saying? But that the truth of it, this is what this is saying. You can't act one way in church and act one way in the secular. You can't act one way in planning for the church and act a different way planning for your life. It's the same God with the same principles telling you the same thing. He just changed the audience around you. You didn't change. You did not change. Of course, some of you just love to talk to me rather than your next door neighbor because I'm so much nicer. Okay, I understand that. But you still have to be nice to the next door neighbor anyway because Jesus wants you to, you know. Now, so the hope, but that's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying here. Now, also, it's important for us to look at, and we've seen that, you know, I'm going to go such and such, and I'm going to do this, and God willing, it'll work. See, this is not simply adding God willing to our plan. See, we think, oh, it's God. Okay, I'll make a plan. I'll say, okay, God willing, it will work out. God goes, that's not what I'm talking about. Don't add God willing to your plan, you know? No, I need to be part of the plan for it to be God willing. You know, don't have an add-on line. You know, I'm going to this, and you can help me. Let's do this, and God willing, we'll succeed. Nah, you better go by yourself. I don't know God's in this, you know. He may not want to go with you in your plans. We'll find out. So what it is, we must make plans while consulting God. While consulting God. I don't care if you're a mechanic, engineer, preacher, anything. We say, how do I do this job? Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, speak to me. How can I do this best? You know, because by the way, whatever you're doing, he wants you to do well. He wants you to do well. He is glorified when you do well. See, so he wants you to do well. So he's asking you, just consult me. Ask me the question. Just ask me the question. So make our plans while consulting God. That means each plan should be evaluated by God's standards, God's goal. It should be laid before God with adequate time listening. Listening for God's ideas. See? And people tell me all the time, it's well, how do I know God said something? You know,
Well, if you asked me that question, he probably didn't say nothing to you, or you wouldn't ask the question. I mean, so no one ever said it to me. I'm nice enough, I won't tell you. You're probably right, he probably's not talking to you. You know, I'll say something nicer. Okay, but the fact is, your attitude is not in a position to receive anything. You can't receive with that attitude. Now, here's something, and this is helpful. This is something learned. We are all taught and we are raised in a certain way. We have a certain background, and God speaks to us, and he gives us wisdom. How many of you, don't have to raise your hand, have been in a difficult situation? I don't know what to do. This doesn't make any sense. I'm not done. You're working through. And then all of a sudden, you just idea comes into your mind. Well, that'll work. That'll work. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so smart. I can do that. God goes, I'm not going to give you another idea. You take credit for everything I tell you. See, your epiphanies, you know, or Holy Spirit touching you. We just don't give him credit. You know, after a while, you know, he just gets tired. I'm done. I'm not going to give him an epiphany or nothing else. He is, the Bible is clear. He is speaking to us continually. And our mind is an incredible thing working. The Holy Spirit's an incredible thing working through our mind. And he works through our mind. And he gives, now sometimes it'd be more than just a thought. Circumstances and really different kinds of things. And I'm talking to all Christians. But what he does, he will bring a thought. And it's a thought, and you think, well, that's a good thought. He goes, I know. God goes, I know, I do that good. I really do. But then we go, wow, aren't I bright? You know, he goes, you can't help this guy. You can't help this guy. But when God speaks to us, listen to this, this is me, okay? This is me, but I totally believe with all my mind and soul. When God speaks to you, if you're in the Word, if you're seeking, when God speaks to you, that thought that comes to your mind sounds like you. What sounds like? It doesn't sound like me. You're in trouble if it sounds like me. I think God should have an English accent. I just do. I listen to English. They just handled the language so well. And I was a couple of guys, English preachers I listened to. I just know God sounds like them, you know. But, you know, when he speaks to me, he doesn't sound like he has an English accent. He kind of sounds like me. There's a little twang to it, you know, and I think, oh, man, he's from South Texas. I didn't know God was from South Texas. No, what he does, he made you a certain way. When he speaks to you, he uses your mind, what you've learned, and it comes out like your thought put together. I'll tell you how you prove some of this. My wife, we're still married. All the examples we make, she's never mad at me. Now, what sometimes I have is like, God told me, what do you think? This happened. What do you think? This is so great. And she goes, I don't know whose idea that is, but I don't think it's God's. So I have to take an evaluation, step back and take an evaluation, because God has given a couple. Now, there's something very interesting we kind of throw this out. He said, when you get married, say, God did something. He made us. He made us. He made us one. He made us one. That means all of a sudden, my giftings, whatever they may be, and Linda's giftings, whatever they may be, well, one thing they are, they're different. They're just different. I mean, just different. She's from a different planet, different. Okay. And so, but what it is her view, God speaking to her, and God speaking to me, and then it comes, and then there's a connection, and then all of a sudden, we're discerning what God said. Well, when you get spiritual, you'll think like I think. Guys, you ever try that? She never got spiritual when I talked like that. In fact, I don't know. I think the devil came upon her when I talked like that. He went joking. But what I'm making, and it says in the multitude of counselors. Why? Because they're more godly than you are? No, they have different gifts than you have. And you hear them, and you process them through your spirit. And you don't do what any one person says, but you process and what says, I believe this is what God's saying to me. But it sounds like your thought. Now, I've seen certain things, and just the encouragement, things will come up, and I'll have, like, asking God for direction or asking God to show me something, and I'll have something like almost prophetic thought, like this, you know. But it sounds just like my thought. It's just like my thought, except when I think about it, is I go, I don't think like that. It sounds like me. Makes sense, and I can do it, and I know what it means, but I don't necessarily think like that. Now, that's in a case or a situation, you know, this really beyond where you are, and I'm going to give you this, but it's just going to sound just like you, but it's going to be a way above. And there's a few of those where I can recognize them. But even when I don't, I can recognize what they are. But even when I don't recognize it, I can understand, okay, wait a minute, God is doing something here. Now, what I'm saying, who does God speak to? All of you. Any of you had 2-year-olds? Any of you had little 2-year-olds? See? And have you ever talked to them? And it's like, don't do that. And they go do it. Right? Well, he must not have heard me. Bless his little heart. He didn't hear me. We'll have to get the kid therapy. I said, I'll go check his ears. He didn't hear me. Now, he didn't want to hear you. So you go, I'm not hearing God. I can say nothing. You're just like the 2-year-old. I'm telling you, he's talking to you. The little 2-year-old doesn't hear you because he wants to do what he wants to do, and you're going to tell him something to do that he doesn't want to do, and it gets interfering with what he is doing, and it's like that. And it's like the poor child's deaf. No, it's not, but that's us. I promise you, before the Lord Jesus Christ, as I stand right here, God's speaking to you. God's speaking to you. And you say, well, I always do what God says. Well, now you're just flat lying. I mean, the Bible says that. Whoever says they don't sin is a liar. See? So what's the dynamic? What is the dynamic God is pulling together here? He goes, I'm trying to tell you how I function. And in James, he spent 4 chapters and telling us all this stuff. And now he's saying, in the business, he says, take this to the world and you will succeed at your job. You will do well at your job. Just include me in your decision making. Ask me in your decision making. Said, Lord, bring to mind, help me through this. Give me the wisdom. Speak to me. And he speaks to you and you come out on the other end. You go, how do I even make it out of this? You know, I just did all the stuff that came together, but I knew that stuff, but it came together, and I did it, and it worked out. He goes, that's right. I put it all together. I spoke to it, and I brought it to your mind. To your mind. Y'all see what I'm saying? Do you bounce it off of people? I swear, this is honest truth. Linda and I, we can say, I can say, well, how about you want to do this? And she'll say, whatever. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't Jesus. A whatever ain't Jesus. And I'm going, okay, don't do that to me. Whatever. No, I mean whatever. Well, what I know is she don't mean whatever. What? It's not, no. It's whatever. Well, it doesn't make any difference. Everything makes a difference to her. See? So I'm thinking, okay, Jesus, something's not hooking here. I'm not hearing. I said, now tell me, why do you say whatever for no reason? There is a reason. How long have we been married? 57? For 57 years, there's been a reason. In every conversation we ever had, there's been a reason, okay? So, the point of it is, where am I going with all this? God is speaking to you. Does that mean all that? Linda's always right and I'm always wrong? Well, not all the time, but anyway. No, it does not. But what it means is that communication, and you're trying to hear from God. God is speaking to you. And I'm just going to tell you, just don't do it. Don't come to me and tell me God's not speaking to you. Because I'm too nice to say you ain't listening. So I said it here and not talk to me. You're not listening. Brothers and sisters, you're not listening. Read the scripture. It clearly tells you he's speaking to us. And I spent entirely much too much time on this particular thing. All right. So what we have here, that the statement, if God wills, listen to this, the statement, if God wills, is a prayerful belief. Consulted with God, I understand as God sees everything I have and what I understand, I'm going to make this decision. And if God wills, he'll carry out what he said. Who said it? What he showed me. Okay, because he wants us to do it. So, it's a prayer for belief that after consulting God, we are proceeding in the will of God, acknowledging if God wills. If I've got this right, if God wills, basically, I didn't add it on to it. That's saying he's included in decision, and I'm walking out with that decision. We never have to feel insecure about plans made with careful prayer consulting God's directions. We must have a sincere appreciation for God's control of affairs and for his specific will for us. I'm just telling you. There's a specific will. Hey, just have at it, you know. We'll see. Talk to Gabriel. Let's just watch these vapors. See what they do. He goes, no, he's lining all this up. He's lining all this up. And there's a specific will for it. There's a touch for us. We're unique. He died for us. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're a special. God has gifted you. Now, this does not rule out planning, but it does rule out totally relying on our own self efforts. My plan is what God said, irregardless of anybody, what God said to me. Well, not necessarily. You need the consulting counsel of many, your spouse. But even in some cases, there could be an unusual situation. The Apostle Paul was going to Jerusalem, and all the way, one of his last trips to Jerusalem, all the way, people came up in three or four different cities, and the prophets, Old and New Testament prophets, said, don't go there. Don't go there. They're going to tie you up. They're going to throw you in jail. Don't go there. And he says, you guys are just breaking my heart. You're just breaking my heart. And they said, listen, don't go there. Agabus, you know Agabus? Oh, good old Agabus. Agabus gets, he's a prophet. He ties himself all up like that. He goes, that's what they're going to do to you. He's like, gotta go. Why? Because God told him to go. He understood he had to go. And all that stuff was going to happen to him, but it was part of the suffering he had to do for Jesus. So he went anyway. Well, those things happened, but he knew. He knew. You're going to know. If you're spending time with Jesus, you're going to know. If you give it to Jesus, you're going to know. Oh, by the way, this is another little piece. The voice from God sounds like your voice. It does. Even if they have an English accent, I don't think so. But it sounds like your voice. And here's something. This is absolute. Thus saith Wally. He'll show you the first step. 100% will not show you the second step. Will not. He'll show you the next step. I love that. I think it's Psalms 105. I think one of them. And he says, God is a light unto my feet. Yeah, it's a light. It's not moving. It's just a light. It's a ring if you're not used to that, right? And you take a step, and the ring moves out. You take a step, the ring moves out. And God will tell you the first step to take. I want the second and third step. No, I'm just going to tell you the first one. I'm going to tell you the first one. Take this one, okay. This one, okay. This one. And then, oh my God, that's not where I was thinking. No, this way now. I didn't see it until I took those three steps. Now take that. Then it moves out. And it starts moving forward. You see what I'm saying? And all the time it sounded like me giving it to God, asking what to do, and he's pouring in me, and he is speaking to me and giving me a peace in my heart that I'm walking with him. Anyway, it's just the truth. It's the truth of thing. We need to have a sincere appreciation of God's control of affairs and the specific will for us. It's just the way it is. That's what the scripture says. Okay. But it does rule out planning, but it does rule out totally relying on our self-efforts. Making ourselves God. Making ourselves God. Here's the problem. Next verse, 4:16. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. No, those were sweet plans, God. No, they were arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. Boasting about self-efforts, our anticipated success in this world system is the definition of godliness. Godlessness, excuse me. Godlessness. This will work. This scheme will work. We will make money here. We'll do here. Everything is perfect. Nothing can go wrong. Anticipated total success. It can't fail. And that is the definition of godlessness. That's godlessness. How many times have you heard people hear stuff like that go and it all falls apart? Because it's godlessness. And no way God's going to bless that. You know, you think you're God and me, I'm going to bless that. And so now you know you are God. Nah, not going to happen. I'm not going to enable your godlessness. Godlessness. So, and he drops in. I don't have an overhead for this, but, and you know, it's like 1 John says, we're trying to make decisions based on this world without God. And 1 John 2:16 says this. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eye, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. That's why it happens. You know, well, we're going to make our decisions best we understand, best on that. Not going to work. It's not going to work. See, any plan confidently made outside God's will and not discerned through prayer is not just foolish, it's evil. Now, see, now what's happening here, you see how God has moved. Well, you know, I'm just making decisions. We're just trying to do God will us. We're just doing our stuff in the world, you know. And it's like, it's just doing the best we can. And you see from this verse like that, he says, listen, that's evil. That's it. Well, no, that's not. Yes, it is. That's evil. No, that's like when you go out and shoot somebody. That's evil. He says, no, these plans you make without me, that's evil. That is evil. It is evil because it is an arrogant disregard for God. It is evil because it robs God of his rightful honor, is sovereign, and it exalts mere humans as if they were God themselves. Don't do that without me. Don't do it. Don't do it. So God says include him in our plans. He does it. And you think, well, okay. No, you see, this is a big deal. He's saying it's evil if you don't. Now, he's talking to believers. He's talking to believers. Now that we know what is right, if we fail to do it, we messed up. No, he says, if you fail to, you're sinning. It's like, oh my gosh. All of a sudden you see this whole thing of the picture of how God looks at our plans just made by ourselves without him. This is evil. Now you go back to what Jesus said to the guy who had all the money and set it up. He said, now I'm set. What was Jesus' words to him? You fool. See, it wasn't just like, oh, yeah, you made a bad investment. He goes, no, you fool. You left me out of it. Which goes into James 4:17. Now we know what to do. See, and if we know what to do. Now, aren't you glad you came here this morning? You know what to do about planning. It's talking about planning. That's crazy. John 4:17. If anyone then knows what is good, they ought to do. If anyone knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Wait, plan. We know that we ought to include God in our planning. Now, this certainly applies to all situations. Every situation in life, God is trying to tell us something. However, in context, this deals primarily with the business-type secular decisions. James is saying to businessmen and women, Godliness should be applied in all our business decisions. Godliness should be applied. If not, it's sin. To reinforce this, and I'm just going to touch on this, but to reinforce this, James chapter 5, right here after the flowing, after 4 here, in James chapter 5, he warns us against the temptation of evil business practices of wealthy unbelievers. And so everything we talked about, now he's going into chapter 5, he says, now look, here's how these unbelievers, wealthy unbelievers, this is how they function, this is how they make money. And he tells you everything they do wrong. Read 5:1 through 5 or 6. You'll love it, right? I'll just summarize it with James 5:5. He summarizes these evil plans without him. Unbelievers, evil plan without him. James 5:5. This is one verse that summarizes it. He goes, you have fattened yourself in the day of slaughter. Every once in a while I'll share something from, well, probably a lot of times. But Linda's so sweet to me. But every once in a while she goes, yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that. And so I read this verse though, like that. I'm telling James. I said, James, you probably shouldn't have said this. That was kind of rough stuff. Though. You could have said that much nicer than this. He's going, you fatten yourselves for the day of slaughter. God does not want us to be like the animals that were fed until the day they were slaughtered. Have any of y'all? I'm sure. Maybe you have. Have you ever been farming like cattle, raised cattle like for livestock, and it's raised up, and then you ship them off to the slaughterhouse or whatever. Any of you done that? I've done that for years. And literally thousands upon thousands of cattle. And they buy them in there, and we could doctor them, give them shots and everything, and take care of them, feed them, make sure they're sick. Just work these cattle all the time. Unbelievable job. And then feed them, have a special diet of corn and what have you, oats. And you say, get them up, raise them fat, pretty. Oh, just so pretty and fat. And they come in a truck, and you ship them off to the slaughterhouse. And they kill them all and butcher them. That's what James is talking about. That's exactly what he's talking about. And he goes, don't be like those cattle. You think you got it good, but you're going to the slaughterhouse. That's where you're going, is the slaughterhouse. Okay. Is it good now? Yeah. But you're going to the slaughterhouse. That's what he's saying right here. So, therefore, what it is, God instructs us to consult him in our planning. That's it. He says, consult me in the planning. Consult me in the planning. When we do, God will provide all things for us. Now, that doesn't say that in James. It doesn't say it. It just says, listen, this is what's going to happen if you do it. But turn, if you will, to Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19. Put it in context here. I mean, the Bible, God said the whole thing. The whole thing's inspired. Philippians 4:19. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ. Consult me in your plans, because I'm going to provide everything you need if you consult me. If you consult me. Right there. Consult God first. So we wrap up. Jesus died for us on the cross. We died for us, 360. Died for us, a substitute for us. Suffered in our place. Now, he wants to provide for us. How can we make any plans without including him? Well, he doesn't speak. You ain't listening, I'm just telling you. He will. He will. You do what you're supposed to today. You take that one step. You make that one decision. And he will. But this is difficult. That's right. Go through it. And I'll have a blessing behind this to give you, because you're following and doing what I say. And you're going to do exactly what I want to. And he goes, you know what he tells us vapors? This is what he tells us vapors. He goes, I'll give you a long life. I'll give you a long vapor. See? But he'll provide for us. Consult me. I will provide. That's what it says. And all God's people say. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. All this to read through and as we think about it. And you're just saying, the big picture says, look to me, cry out to me, Lord. Include me in your plans. And we will. I'll take you to where you're supposed to be. I'll take you with what you're supposed to do. Be faithful in what you're doing now. Include me in your plans. Take it one step at a time, and you will end up where you're supposed to be. Be. That's what God says. He desires, one scripture says, he desires to bless us. He just said, you know, just put me in your plan. Consult me. I'm desiring to bless you. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.